out of 77. Ah, Star Wars, nothing but Star Wars. Give me the Star Wars, don't let them end.
Hello and welcome to another adventurous episode of Give Me Those Star Wars, the premier Star Wars show of the Fire and Water Podcast Network. At least, it was. Like the classic trilogy heroes, Give Me Those Star Wars exploded onto the network scene, burned bright, even attained legendary status for a while. But then, like Luke and Leia and Han, it went away, seemingly for decades. Now, a fresh new Star Wars podcast has joined the network. The Irredeemable Shag, who was a guest host of mine on several episodes before he turned to evil, has launched Marvel Star Wars From Empire to Jedi, where he and a guest will cover the issues of Marvel's original Star Wars comics, running from the adaptation of The Empire Strikes Back all the way to Return of the Jedi. I'm really excited for this new show, as I'm certain all of you are. This era of Star Wars comics is so close to Shag's heart. He's such a passionate and charismatic podcaster.
And he was a good friend.
Marvel Star Wars From Empire to Jedi has captured the attention of a new generation of listeners. Not a younger generation, mind. They actually skew 10 to 15 years older than my target demo. But once again, like the characters from the classic Star Wars trilogy, I refuse to hand the reins over and leave gracefully. No, I'm going to make sure this new era of Star Wars focuses more on my failures than spotlighting the new talent. That's why I am proud to announce the next era of Give Me Those Star Wars, Dark Horses. I'll be covering the Star Wars series published by Dark Horse Comics in the 90s. That's my sweet spot, my joy. Get ready for the thrilling starfighter battles of X-Wing Rogue Squadron, the rise and fall of ancient Jedi in Dark Lords of the Sith, the adaptation of Splinter of the Mind's Eye. Oh, and a couple of Star Wars stories written by Alan Moore? All of this awesome Star Wars content is coming to the Fire and Water Network as soon as I wrap up Cheerscast. So, 2029-ish? Get pumped and subscribe now if you haven't already. In the meantime, and the real reason for this episode, while I haven't been podcasting about Star Wars for a couple of years, it hasn't been far from my mind. I've actually been engaging with it pretty regularly, just not in the way you might think. Over the last 6 or 7 years, I have become an action figure customizer. I'll get to the Star Wars part of this in a minute, but it started with Marvel Legends, the 6-inch Marvel superhero toy line by Hasbro. Around 2019, I think it was, maybe 2020, I purchased an Iron Man figure, and after I bought it, I was reading some online discussion and realized that the toy was slightly defective. And it wasn't just the one I bought. I couldn't take it back and exchange it for a good one. It was a defect at the factory level that affected all of the produced copies of this particular Iron Man figure. The defect wasn't obvious. In fact, you might not even notice it unless you're really scrutinizing the figure. But once you do notice it, it's all you can see. Try to imagine the figure in all of its component parts. The factory put the biceps on the wrong arms. Is this a big deal? No. But it does make the muscles look funny and weird. And I paid for it. As a consumer, I have an expectation of a certain quality. But Hasbro wasn't going to recall all of these figures. What they might do is re-release the figure a year later with the corrected parts, but then I would have to buy a second time. Instead, with the help of the online community, some YouTube tutorials, I was able to fix the problem myself, swapping the placement of the upper arms using nothing more than hot water and pliers. It was so easy, and it looked so much better, and I felt so... I understand how this sounds, but I felt accomplished. And then I noticed another figure in my collection was 95% perfect. I just didn't like the color of his eyes, or his gloves, or something. Certainly it would be cheaper to just paint them the proper color than buy another figure years later once it had been corrected by the company. And I did it. And it worked. And then I got a little more aggressive with painting and experimenting with synthetic dyes and stuff. And sometimes there wasn't anything wrong with the figure. Sometimes I just thought, I really wish this G.I. Joe had this color camouflage instead of how they sold him. Or I wish his gun holster was on his hip instead of his boot. For the record, I do not consider myself a good artist. Drawing and painting have never come easy for me. I enjoy them, I'm just not good at them. I get impatient, and I don't have the fine motor control to hold a paintbrush still, so painting little details is very challenging. But I worked at the process enough that I felt good about the end result. So let's bring it back to Star Wars. I got my son into Star Wars when he was 2 or 3. I showed him the movies, I got him the toy lightsabers so that we could duel, and I should have expected this, but he gravitated toward the dark side. He liked Darth Maul and Captain Phasma and General Grievous and Darth Vader and Kylo Ren and Boba Fett and the Emperor. He really liked Darth Maul, but one time I noticed he was playing with his Legos, and he had Lego Darth Maul's head on a different body, and I asked him about it, and he said, "That's Darth Horn." "Darth Horn?" I asked. Over several months and multiple revisions, Reese proceeded to tell me and Angela the saga of Darth Horn, his sometimes heroic, sometimes evil, sometimes all-powerful, sometimes tragic original character. Darth Horn started as a noble bounty hunter and the best friend of Jedi Knights Obi-Wan Kenobi and Kit Fisto. The kid is a name-dropper par excellence. Horn eventually turned to the dark side of the Force and became a Sith Lord. During his reign of evil, he took on an apprentice in Darth Sidious. I mean, now we're talking Mary Sue-level fanfiction. Darth Horn oversaw the construction of Death Stars 7 through 10, and fought Obi-Wan Kenobi on a lava planet, upon which Darth Horn was badly burned, leaving his visage a grotesque charred skull. Where'd he get that idea, I wonder? All of these events allegedly are chronicled in Star Wars episodes 12 through 21. I'm sure that Disney is going to get right to work on them after The Mandalorian and Grogu next year. So now, as I'm watching my kid play with Star Wars toys, and he's holding a Darth Maul figure and calling him Darth Horn, pretending it's Darth Horn, how cool would it be if he actually had a Darth Horn figure of his own? Who could make such a figure? Who could make a custom Star Wars toy to match this child's imagination? There are a lot of things I can't and won't be able to teach my son. I can't teach him to draw, as I mentioned before. I can't teach him to throw a curveball. I can't teach him to drive a manual transmission. Actually, I'll probably be dead before he learns to drive anyway. But maybe I could give him the manifestation of his imagination in 6-inch plastic. I could make a Darth Horn action figure.
Your father wanted you to have this when you were old enough.
Here is the best part about modern Star Wars toy collecting. Every time one of the new movies or TV series comes out and disappoints the fans, which is constantly, collectors get frustrated and sell off their collections. You can go to eBay or Mercari and buy whole lots of used figures for a fraction of the price, which is perfect if you plan to trash them anyway with part swaps or repainting or dyeing. Sadly, a 5-year-old boy can be a harsh critic. Upon receiving his very own Darth Horn figure, he thanked me and told me it was awesome and also that it wasn't quite the way he pictured him, and could I redo it? Reese incorporated this into his narrative. The Darth Horn that I made was version 2.0. Could I make version 1? I could, and I did. And then he asked for version 3.0. At the time of this recording, I have made 4 different Darth Horn figures, representing his different looks across different stages of his saga. And Reese has already told me he expects version 5 in the future. The thing is, my son isn't the only member of the family to make up his own original Star Wars characters. I met my wife through Star Wars role-playing and fanfiction. She had created her own obvious Mary Sue type, the son of Grand Admiral Thrawn, who was also, wait for it, a vampire. For her birthday, I made an action figure of this character she created in college. I assembled his body from various officer parts and used the head of a Marvel Legends Winter Soldier figure because he looked striking with a blue face and red eyes, and also because my wife really likes Sebastian Stan. After that, I didn't want to stop. I had a surplus of figures to use and a long list of characters that I made up in my teens and 20s. Over the last 2 years, while I was doing a lot less podcasting, I was customizing a bunch of action figures. These aren't for sale, I don't have an Etsy store or anything, and like I said, I don't think these are of the type of quality that I would feel good selling them anyway, because I don't consider myself that good of an artist. They're just for my personal collection. They bring me joy. But I am also proud of the work, and I want to share it. Which brings us to the actual reason for this episode. I recently created an Instagram account to share my creations. The handle on this IG account is Dead Boffin Spy.
Now that's a name I've not heard in a long time. A long time.
I update it once a day with pics of a new character. I try to include a little background on who he or she or it is, something about their personality or their story, and I include the recipe of parts I used in the creation, just in case anyone else wants to replicate it. I hope I get to podcast about Star Wars again in the near future, but until then, if you want some kind of Star Wars content from me, follow dead_boffin_spy on Instagram. Like and subscribe and all that jizz. That sounds terrible. No wonder they changed the name of the music. Until next time, Give Me Those Star Wars is a proud member of the Fire and Water Podcast Network. Feedback for the show can be left at fireandwaterpodcast.com, or you can email me at rdailypodcast@gmail.com. You can also support shows like this on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/fwpodcast to support your favorite podcasts on the Fire and Water Network. Thanks for listening, and Shag, if you're hearing this,
traitor!